I grew up in the Mormon Church. Born and raised, as they say. Even during the times of inactivity, I still considered myself to be a true believing Mormon. Times and people change, and when someone pushes you to reevaluate your beliefs, you sometimes realize how wrong you were. 2016 was the year I moved from Mormonville to Heathensburg. I'm Molly Ann Mormon. Welcome to Doubting Dogma, where I explore my new views and new friendships, moving on without religious belief. Good evening, coming to you from Heathensville, Pennsylvania. This is Doubting Dogma. I am Molly Ann Mormon, and I changed our location because we are nomadic peoples.
As we are.
And joining us from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah.
Oh, don't you know? Riss McCool.
Sure. Yeah, I got to figure out some kind of like subversive version of the town of St. Paul, but it's so Catholic here.
Hence the saint, probably.
Yeah, imagine that. It might be connected.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
But it's this way all throughout the state, though. I mean, even up in Duluth, where I take classes, which is 2.5 hours away, it's so many Catholics.
See, no, I wouldn't have expected Catholicism to be that big up there. Like, it didn't surprise me that it was huge down in El Paso, because, I mean, it's right next to Mexico, and that's who sent all their missionaries over there way back when, was the Catholic Church. So that makes sense, but I don't remember. I thought it was more like Lutheran Protestant-y up there.
Not really, because it was St. Paul was founded by Irish people, and Minneapolis was founded by Nordic people. So, I mean, it really doesn't have much Lutheran influence at all.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So there's some demographic information for non-heathen X-name places. That's what we do here on Doubting Dogma. Demographics.
Indeed. Oh, right. So, let me see. Episode 22.
Yeah.
I always forget to mention that part. So, you know, whatever.
So I guess if you started a podcast with Tom from Cogdis, there would just be no episode numbers.
No. It'd just be random freaking names and stuff.
Yep. This is episode number Apple.
Tomorrow's going to be banana.
Yay!
And then kiwi. Then we'll have to get Eli on for his kiwi voice for that.
Well, of course. I mean, that's just a given.
You know, honorary Ray Comfort. Oh, no. Okay, so, yeah, so, let's see. There was this article I saw just after reading a different article. You know, it's got all the little links at the bottom. And this is actually on Fox News. Don't slap me. But it says, biblical prophecy claims the world will end on September 23rd.
Right.
So this is our last episode.
Yeah. They've been right so many other times. Might as well double down on it.
Yeah. So, okay, this dude, this Christian numerologist, which that seems to be a contradiction in terms, right? I mean,
numbers are scary.
Well, like, numerology has a lot of roots, like, with astronomy, but astrology and that kind of stuff.
I was going to say, if it had roots in astronomy, that's like a science.
Yeah, not a science. No, in astrology. And so, like, that kind of stuff, when I grew up, was, like, always frowned on, and it's just, you know, stupid and a waste of time. I don't know if they went, like, full that's the devil or not, but,
probably.
You know, like, the horoscope thing was just, you know, you didn't do that. So,
right.
You know, if you read your horoscope just for giggles, you never told the parents, so.
The things the church people choose to, like, you know, pivot down
demonize. On. Demonize. Yeah, it's just, it's crazy. So this Christian numerologist, David Mead, first he starts that Luke 21, verse 25 to 26 are the sign that recent events such as the recent solar eclipse and Hurricane Harvey are signs of the apocalypse.
Oh, good, because we've never had hurricanes or eclipses before, so it's about time someone got on this.
No, I mean, I don't know if you knew this. These were the first ones.
They really were. That's why That's why it was named Harvey, because there were no hurricanes before it this year even. Wow.
Yeah, what is it? The Mandela effect, where they say that, like, everybody remembers things that didn't happen, so we all must be part of that, what with, you know, Hurricane Sandy and Hurricane Andrew and, you know, Katrina and stuff.
Yeah, so. We're just making shit up.
Okay. That's what
Unless
I thought.
Unless it was Obama's fault, and that in that case it happened.
It could be, because Sandy was during his reelection.
Mm-hmm. And Katrina was during his, what, 45th term? Like, that's how it worked? He was president always?
No, yeah. That's right. I was like, what are you talking about? That was during the W years.
I know, but a lot of Republicans didn't.
I know. I have seen that all over the place. They're like, oh, well, where was Obama when Katrina hit? I believe he was in the Chicago Senate.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like facts happen.
Like history is a thing, and... Well, yeah.
That's just the conspiracy, just like the round earth, Molly. Come on.
Oh, that's right. I forgot we're flat.
Yeah. And Australia's on the other side. That's why it's called Down Under. See?
It all makes sense now. I must have thought the earth was round because I'm blonde. I don't know.
I think so. you should really get over that and, you know, just study the facts.
I'm on it. Okay, so supposedly September 23rd, they say, was pinpointed using codes from the Bible and all this nonsense. But then it goes on and says that his views are not endorsed by the Roman Catholic, Protestant, or Eastern Orthodox branches of Christianity. So
he got rejected from the big ones and still doubled down on it because those particular institutions of bullshit weren't even willing to endorse it. So he really had to renegade that.
Yeah. Yeah. He's special.
Sounds like someone I'd trust.
Yeah. So they say, as I mentioned, he built his theory on the so-called Planet X, which he believes will pass Earth on September 23rd, causing volcanic eruptions, tsunamis, and earthquakes.
That's not how orbits work.
I know, right?
And if something that large was going to pass by us, we would have known years ago.
Well, and here's the fun part, right? NASA has repeatedly said Planet X is a hoax.
Yeah.
So...
The planet that doesn't exist is going to defy gravity just to pass by so the world can end. That makes sense.
I know. I mean, I'd be more worried about asteroids because we're, like, next to the asteroid belt and stuff, and we're routinely getting hit with those.
Yeah.
And the meteors that fall and stuff like that. But even that... Most of those burn up in the atmosphere, and when they do hit, blah, 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 you know.
Well, I remember when I saw Neil deGrasse Tyson, he was a great series, by the way. If you get a chance to go see him live, definitely do it. It's called An Astrophysicist Goes to the Movies, and one of the movies he talked about was Armageddon, where they didn't discover that a comet the size of Texas was heading toward Earth until 2 weeks beforehand or whatever it was.
Now, was that flat Texas? Or, you know, the fake one on the round earth?
Yes. Anyway, okay. But I think he said, like, in actuality, if there was something the size of Texas toward us, we would have known, like, 20 years ago or something like that. So, yeah, it's all kind of fun stuff, but that involves knowledge, and that's no fun.
Yeah, people just...
Yeah. People.
That's... just have no words.
Pretty much. I mean, I don't know about you, but like anytime I wake up and something's happened, I almost don't even react anymore because it's like, yep, same shit as always.
Oh, speaking of something happening, I don't... Sorry, I should talk into the mic.
That helps.
Yeah, a little bit. It was just a day or two ago, I want to say. I still haven't read the article about it, but my husband told me a little bit about it. I guess there was a terror attack in London.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they hit the tube, I think. I hit. They hit the subway.
Yep.
I don't recall all the details. Did you read about that? Can you help me out here?
Not really, unfortunately. Kind of like I said, it's... I think Trav Mamon used the phrase tragedy exhaustion because there's just so much right now, and I'm probably a bad activist for not keeping up with all of it, but I don't know how anyone can keep up with all of it right now.
And my slight excuse, I don't know how good it is that, you know, I don't have the TV hooked up to anything except the Blu-ray player, so like I don't sit down and watch the news or anything. The news I get is if I get a chance to browse headlines on the computer for a minute before I go to work or something like that. Okay, so I guess they have arrested two men now. This is from CNN, and it said it was updated like 4 hours ago. Yeah. They've arrested a second man in connection with the bombing of the London Underground. Let me see... It injured 30 passengers, and, well, anyways, okay, so, yeah, crap.
Yeah, I wish there was something better I could say, but I'm not surprised. I mean,
I'm
not surprised when any of this bullshit happens, and I'm not surprised that it happens, because That's the kind of world we kind of are in right now, and
yeah, unfortunately,
people are just more interested in blaming somebody and doing nothing about it than they are actually addressing any of the problems. So, because the real problem is us trans people causing hurricanes. So that's where the focus has to be.
Oh, that was you?
Yep, that was me again.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
And I see you're sicking another couple on us.
Well, of course. I mean.
Okay.
I always heard you're supposed to play to your strengths.
Ah, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, if you're good at something, run with it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. But I got a skill, and, you know, my people are, of course, too weak to join the military, but we're strong enough that we can be responsible for elections and cause hurricanes, so it's a fun little contradiction over here in Transland.
Destroy the Florida Keys and half of Florida. Or most of Florida, all at the same time, but, you know, you can't carry a rucksack. I don't know.
Yep,
anyways.
That's right.
And then, well, speaking of the hurricanes, I didn't read the newspaper article because I didn't really need to, but I saw a headline saying that, well, in times of need, you can always count on the Mormon Church, and, you know, and that they were there, like, helping out with Harvey and everything. And I was like, well, okay, yeah, they do a lot of good when, I don't know, when they decide it looks good for PR or something. I don't know. I know they stepped in, like, with Andrew and stuff, and they helped out then, and I believe they helped out with Katrina too. But I mean, if all you do is good deeds during the bad times, that's not really saying much.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, at the same time, right now they're throwing money into the court cases to support bakers who don't want to bake cakes for same-sex weddings.
Yep.
And I thought we had already solved this with those people up in Oregon?
No, apparently not.
Oh.
Yeah, so we got to keep having this same stupid fucking argument, you know, and inevitably somebody will say, well, what if a Jewish baker was activated for a Nazi, blah, 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 and it's like...
Yeah, but see, okay, Nazism, that's... You choose to be a bigot, right? Mm-hmm. This is something you have consciously decided, but when you decide you're not going to bake a cake for someone who's gay, that's just like saying, I mean... What is it? You always do the black test, right?
Yep.
Well,
and
see how bigoted it is. And it was interesting because I actually had this conversation with a coworker some months back, and he is black, but you know, he was like, well, I don't know if they should have to do that, you know? And I was like, well, while I understand, you know, it should be people's right to say, I'm, you know, this is my business and I reserve the right to refuse service. But at the same time, I mean, if they have free rein of that, then they will say, well, I'm not going to serve them because they're Mexican. I'm not going to serve them because, you know, they're black. They're Native American, they don't speak English, they, you know, whatever it is.
And there's, you know, Andrew talked about a lot about this when this was, you know, still in the big headlines, and part, you know, the system says, like, if they came in and asked them to make a cake with two dicks or something, of course they have the right to refuse that, because that's not something they offer. The part where they're being denied on it is you can't offer a service and then deny that service to people just based on your bullshit. That's the problem, and that's where the whole, what if, you know, Nazis wanted a cake from a Jewish baker or whatever, it's like, well, do they offer Nazi cake and then decide to not have Nazis do it? No, of course not, because that's not a thing. It's discrimination. There is no, I don't give a shit about your religious beliefs. My religious beliefs are not to be an asshole. But yet, when there's an asshole, if I have to work in a service industry, I have to serve them. And if I say anything, I'll be the one who gets in trouble. So let's not pretend like this isn't bigotry, like it's some kind of, you know, reservoir of sincerely held religious beliefs. You know, baking a cake for a gay couple isn't an endorsement of gaydom. So, you know, we're still going to hell or whatever it is. But when you lose certain fights, you pick other fights. And because you lost the gay marriage fight, you're going to turn around and try to keep us from public society that way. Because, of course, if you want to eliminate something, you can't outright ban it. So you do all you can to eliminate it from the public space and make it that much harder for us to exist.
Yes.
But not that I have any opinions on the situation.
Yeah, I just... During that, I am so going to hell if there is one, because all I could think was, well, the only acceptable cake for the Nazis to get is a white sheet cake, right? That's really bad.
Oh,
I was cringing on the inside when I thought that. Because I was like, well, just give them a sheet cake and just don't even decorate it. And I was like, oh, that's a white sheet cake. That's a really bad pun. Oh,
what tangled webs we weave.
When we decide to make fun of Nazi. Wait, what? So, oh my gosh. Can you tell I was raised by a punster? Anyways.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. But, let me see. Well, I am, as far as, like, my depression and stuff goes, here, I'll give you guys a little update, because you guys have been here through all of this. I'm coming up on my 6th visit, which is the last one that they offer through the lowest treatment level that the VA has. And so then I have the option to keep going and see a different therapist, or try and just deal with it on my own. And I'm like, no, let me keep seeing a therapist. So I'm going to be going in December was when I could get the first appointment on a Friday. They kept trying to schedule me for like Wednesday afternoon. I'm like, that doesn't work. Because I work and I can't keep taking days off all the time. So it took them until December to get one. Hopefully it doesn't snow. I had stress over that so bad down here. But so I'm going to be going there and looking at it so far, like my anxiety has gone down. So I've been handling that a lot better, but my depression has been going up and down, but staying in the higher range. So I'm pretty sure, and like especially thinking back on it, I was telling my therapist, like, I'm pretty sure that I've had depression probably since high school, at least, you know, like since I was a teenager, but because that's not something they ever talk about in church and everything like that, that's, you know, I've just, I don't know, tried to hold on and deal with it myself. And, yeah, like the whole thing with the churches, they want you to like Jesus it away kind of thing. I mean,
of course.
Think back a couple weeks to the last GAM episode with the Ray Comfort running around and doing that. And I just, oh my gosh, I wanted to reach through that and punch him in the face because I watched that one. I was like, oh, I hate him so bad right now.
Yeah, and at the same time, once again, it's not like it's surprising that he doesn't have the most progressive views on suicide. Like, it wasn't like we were expecting something different.
Yeah, it's just so many people think that way. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, just a couple days ago, well, a few days ago, I wrote a blog post about that and about the whole view of someone said they thought that antidepressants and this kind of stuff is all a false narrative and blah, blah, blah. And I mean, I just about lost it. So I wrote a nice little rant and stuck it on my blog. So if anyone wants to read that,
I'm so sick of that. Like, there are plenty of people out there smart enough to know better who think that, like, you know, taking medicine that you've been prescribed by a doctor is some kind of big hoax. And it's just so devaluing, and it only contributes to the stigma that is mental illness, and it doesn't help anything. Like, whenever somebody will share that meme that's, you know, shows nature, and it's like, this is an antidepressant, and then a picture of pills, like, this is shit. It's like, shut the fuck up. Like, who the hell are you to say what works for somebody is invalid? I mean, it's not like you can just get antidepressants over the counter or even easily. Like, you actually have to...
I was on my third, I think, visit before we put me on anything. Mm-hmm. And we're still trying to work out the right dosage. I'm still not sure how much it's working, but we've been gradually increasing it, you know, because when they started me on 25 milligrams, which she said, yeah, that's like a baby dose. It's so tiny. And so after, I want to say a couple months now I'm on 100, and I've only been on 100 for a few days. So I'm still trying to figure out if that's working. I still don't know how it works. I'm like, am I supposed to feel different? What's going on? So it's all a learning experience for me too.
Yeah, but someone who has no connection to you, or even someone who does, like, it just to be able to say that it's invalid, that something you're doing with someone who is working with you and knows who you are and is trained in that field, to have someone on the outside just be like, oh, it's bullshit because I don't understand things. I really struggle with that. And I really struggle with being nice to people who say things like that. I pride myself as someone who is kind to most people. But when you're being downright rude, ignorant, or harmful to people with mental illness, LGBT people, you know, people who are actually suffering from something, and you just blow it off, that does... Even if that's how you think, like, no need to broadcast that shit. It's harming people. And it's not like someone ever said, oh, I was, you know, on my meds, but then I saw that shitty meme you shared and it changed my life and now I'm fine. Like, you're just trying to feel self-righteous and superior. Knock it the fuck off.
Yeah, I'm glad that that comment hadn't been directed at me. Someone had just shared a article about antidepressants and stuff, and this person made this ignorant-ass comment about the article and just antidepressants in general. Oh, the stigma is a false narrative. That doesn't really happen. And I'm like, bull frickin' crap.
Yeah.
I mean, between the way that they thought about it when I was going to church and the way that it was stigmatized while I was in the military, because you didn't go to seek help for that or they would take your gun, you know? So I was like, I'm going to lose my job. Well, it turns out, no, I can be on this and not lose my job and... You know, so, but that fear and stigma is what kept me from even trying to admit to myself that I had this problem for years.
And it's absolute bullshit that anyone treats you like that, that mental illness is so stigmatized that it actually drives you away from seeking help when, you know, something terrible happens and they'll say, why didn't they seek help? Well, because you've made it so fucking inaccessible and you've stigmatized it so much that everyone's afraid to, and they feel like they have to work through it on their own, which, you know, it's not like you get a broken leg and someone says, oh, just walk it off, you'll be fine. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous that there's all these gatekeepers to, like, friggin' humanity that sit around and decide to judge others for what doctors say they should do. And it has to stop. And that's, you know, I've now known 19 people who have lost their lives to suicide, and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of all the excuses and the apologetics and everything that everybody does to not deal with the issue and to shame and blame others who have sought help and might be on medicine for it.
Yes, I couldn't say it better myself. And I know right now your husband is actually doing a fundraiser on Facebook to raise money for, what's it, the Suicide Prevention?
Mm-hmm.
Foundation or?
It's one of them. I donated to it because it's, of course I did. he's doing the Donate Your Birthday thing to a suicide prevention group, and good on him. You know, I donated to it myself. So the fact that we have to raise money for something like that is, you know, ridiculous as it is. But yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah. And let me see. As I mentioned before, like, part of my therapy has been trying to get me out and doing stuff, and I don't know if it's right to say, like, just distract me from things, because I don't think that's what it's supposed to be, but it's supposed to get me more involved, you know? Is this making sense? But
of course it is.
So I am crafty, and by that I don't mean sneaky bastard walking around with a shank like a rogue in World of Warcraft and backstabbing people. But I mean, I have beads upon beads upon beads, and I have my little jewelry making kit, and I made a bunch of different little earrings, and I donated them to a local pit bull rescue, because they do an online auction on Facebook a couple times a year. So I made a bunch of stuff, donated it to them because that's something I enjoy. And then I have been volunteering at a local wildlife preserve and zoo. And that has been so much fun. I mean, even when I'm just sitting down there in the, like, the pet feeding area with the alpacas and the little demon goats, and it is so much fun. But my husband's about to give me a dirty look because I love this story and he hates me for it. Friday, when I went down. Yeah, he's giving me the stink eye. Friday, I got to hand feed the kookaburras. And for those that don't know, kookaburras are an Australian bird, and they're the ones that do the funny laugh, and they laugh back and forth. And they eat small animals like mice, lizards, this kind of stuff. So what they do is they get little pinky mice, little frozen ones. They're like the size of your thumb. And so then they thaw them out because you obviously don't want to feed them something frozen. But then I go and I just held my arm out, and then I'd hold the mouse up above my arm in my other hand and kind of waggle it in the air, and the bird would fly over, perch on my arm, take the mouse, and fly away. And then some of them were kind of laughing as they ate their mouse. It was so cool. It was awesome. And yeah, I came home and I told the hubby, I'm like, guess what I gotta do today? You're gonna hate me. And I told him the story. He's like, yeah, I hate you.
Aw, I don't.
But he got to feed the really big antelope at Lake Tobias, so I hate him back, so it's okay.
The true sign of a healthy marriage is knowing when you hate the other person.
Well, you know, it's not sincere hate, it's just play hate. But yeah, it was just, oh my gosh. That was seriously the highlight of my weekend. It was awesome.
Good. Own it. Enjoy the hell out of it.
Oh, yeah. And so, like, I keep teasing him by, I'll just put my arm out and make the little the little motion with my hand as if I'm holding the mouse, and he just pouts. It's so cute. But anyways. Yeah, that was a nice, a nice thing to do after I, you know, busted my ass scrubbing the duck pond, so.
Yeah, the fun story of the week for me with Aiden was he's been taking me to school, and we were enjoying a lunch break on Duluth Harbor, which if you ever come up here and visit, you have to go to.
Okay.
And this week's citation needed, he decided to start doing Eli's Mr. Nipples voice. Which, of course, put me in the position of saying, don't do Mr. Nipples. I do not want to talk to Mr. Nipples. And Aiden is doing it dead on. He's just like, oh, don't be sad. I'm just like, oh, Jesus Christ. And we were getting strange looks on the harbor is what I'm saying. And just the way he does it, I can't not laugh at it. So, of course, he uses that to his advantage. So it's been an interesting week in the McCool household.
Oh my gosh, that is awesome. Yeah, I'm a little dork, so I'm always doing just weird stuff that has my husband giving me funny looks no matter where we're at. So I can totally relate to that. But unless there's anything else you want to talk about,
There is one thing I want to bring up because I've been bringing it up on all the shows recently, and that is that Callie Wright and I have started a trans-specific media network, and yes. Of course, me being on this show means it's sort of a part of it. We were getting together, and we kind of had a similar idea, which was making an alliance sort of trans podcasters in our community, because even though there's been more recently, there's still like 10 at most.
Yeah, I mean, I can probably only name a couple, because I know you, Kelly, Eric, of course, and I know Trav.
Yeah, the fact that it's taken you that long is my point.
Yeah.
So, so our idea...
I'm like, I got four.
So yeah, our idea really has been not only to ally under a similar banner and, you know, have a network that supports each other and helps each other out, but our mission is to be able to use that platform to help other voices who may not have startup costs or the visibility in order for them, you know, our charity will be toward startup costs, subscription costs, things like that. And then they're already coming into a media network where they have these trans allies who will make sure they're not alone and that, you know, they get a good start. So we haven't done any official fundraising yet, but we do have the Facebook page. It's up and running. It's called the Trans Podcaster Visibility Initiative, and all five of my shows are a part of it. And there's some good people in there, and the popularity of the idea alone just kind of exploded overnight. So I'm really happy to see where it is and where it's going, and hopefully we can get all the technicals worked out soon and start trying to lend some visibility out there to those who might feel alone or silenced.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I don't know what sort of fundraising kind of stuff you'll be doing, but if at any point you do a little Sally auction thing like the Pitbull Rescue, I'll make stuff.
Awesome. And if it's cookies, I will donate all the things. Selfishly, though, my cookies.
Oh, no.
I can be bribed with cookies. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got that. Yeah, I always feel bad about having to try and mail them because, like, first I have to freeze them so that they don't crumble when the post office, like, plays flag football with them during delivery and stuff, and they're always so much better like the first day, not like the 3 or 4 days later. But yeah, but I guess they're still acceptable when mailed, I guess. That's what Eric said. So
or you'll just have to come out and visit me.
Yeah. Yeah, because I sent some to Eric and Matthew. They both sent me their address, so I sent them some when I made some for the fair. Because I was like, I have too many, let me get rid of these. But, oh my goodness.
Doubting dogma. Come for the debate and stay for the cookies. Are you going to come to PastaCon?
PastaCon?
Yeah, it's a convention.
Italian food?
No.
Pasta? No.
No. No.
Okay.
It's a convention coming up. I will be there in Philadelphia.
Oh, do I need to put a colander on my head?
No, not that kind of pasta.
That type of pasta? Oh, okay.
No, it's Pennsylvania State Atheist and Humanist Conference.
Oh.
And what I like about this, unlike other certain conferences that might be going on sometime in the near future, this place actually went out of its way to make sure that the speaker list was not just straight cis white dudes.
Okay. What are the dates on that?
It is October 13th to 15th in Philadelphia at the Embassy Suites, I think it is. So I'll have a table there, so anybody listening can come say hi, look for the purple one.
Another question. Is there, like, tickets, do you pay per day? Like, what's the pricing sort of thing?
I got the VIP, and I know that's available on their website, and I can message that to you so you can take a look, see if any work for you. Let me get the website so anybody listening.
Yeah, because, I mean, I might be able to make one or two of those days, but I do know that we already have plans for the 14th. But, yeah.
All right. Well, no problem. So, I'm going to send you the thing. I'll put it right here in the chat.
Okay.
So there you go. For anyone listening, that's atheistpa.org/events/2017PastaCon, PASTAHCON.
And I will put that in the show notes as well, so if anyone is interested, they can just click on that and also find information on that, and go see Riss, our lovely purple Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be there. I'll have a table.
You
I'll be selling
have your
books.
Books. Okay.
Of course, but there's some other amazing people speaking.
Stupid question, I know.
some of the names: Emery, Heather Henderson, Alex Jules, Callie Wright. It's a very diverse lineup. Hemant Mehta is going to be there.
Oh, is he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
So, David Silverman will be there. So. Very, very good speaking lineup and a very diverse one. And I told them that next time they should bring me the other trans girl podcaster that, yeah, no, there's more than that.
So you and Callie aren't the same person.
Depends on who you ask. If you ask people at ReasonCon, possibly.
Ah, well, I suppose you and Callie can't be the same person because I have seen you both in the same place.
That's
at
right.
At the same time.
And you can tell by how much we look alike, we could easily be confused for each other. Like,
oh, I know. She, what, comes up to your shoulder?
Yeah. And well, we both have glasses.
Oh, no. All right. Well.
So, yeah, you should come. And people listening should come see me at PastaCon because living out here in St. Paul now, can't always get back to the East Coast for that kind of fun thing. And I know I'll go to the next ReasonCon, but I decided not to go to the Mythicist Milwaukee one for obvious reasons. But
that has been blowing up the Facebook recently, yes.
It sure has. Yeah, I'm not even going to go there. Listen to my show if you want to hear some good discussion about it. The Utah Outcasts and us discussed it on Inciting Incident. And then coming up in 2 weeks, I have an interview with Stephanie Zvan, and she had some really good things to say about it. So I don't need to repeat myself. I trust that your listeners also know that I podcast. So if you want to hear us bitching about it, you can follow it there. And, of course, just look, because plenty of people are having some interesting conversations about it, specifically Aaron and Lalandra Ra. Those are the people I would definitely take a look at what they're saying about it.
Oh, and I was going to say Steve Shives.
Well, of course. You should already be following Steve Shives. Like, that's just a given.
Very vocal. Every time I open up my Facebook, I see him posting something about that. So, And I mean, I don't even know who these people are that he's talking about, but I guess I'm probably better off for that.
Yeah,
from my understanding. So
the main one is a YouTuber named Sargon of Akkad, and he is anti-feminist, anti-SJW, rape apologist, you know, just anti pretty much everything, but also an atheist. So, you know, it's the convention is kind of not friendly to us now.
Yeah. Well,
so let's wrap up there before I get angry again.
I got to feed a kookaburra. Okay. And
there you go.
A happy note.
Happy.
And then I went and saw my buddy alpacas, even though one of them bit me last week. So, oh, he was such a stinker. It was funny because I was sitting there like petting him because, you know, there was a break in the people coming by to feed the critters, and the owners want to eventually change the petting area so that, like, it's actually open where you go in with the animals, not just be on the other side of the fence with them. And so they're, you know, they want to be able to get them more friendly and everything. So I'm here, like, petting the alpacas, trying to get them used to it and everything like that. And the one of them, the one who spits, he's the first one to spit. Like, when he gets upset that you feed someone else, he's the first one to start his little alpaca spitting contest. So I was petting him, and he walks away for a bit. Then I was petting one of the Jacob's four-horned sheep, and he comes back, and his head starts coming down, so I think he's going to, like, try and nuzzle in and butt in or something. But no, he just bites me on the arm instead. I was like, ew, stinker. And then I was reading these articles about alpacas, and they say, oh, no, they don't bite. I was like, you want to bet? I was like, I was there. Yeah, but they do only have bottom teeth, so it wasn't too bad, because their upper jaw, I guess, they have no teeth. They just have a flat palate that's got, you know, yeah, maybe slight sandpapery kind of texture to it so that they can graze that way. But, yeah, so he was such a stinker, but he's my buddy.
Good. I always like hearing you happy and laughing.
I love the critters. I honestly wish I could quit my job and go and work full-time at the zoo. But I don't know that I could pay my bills if I did that, which is unfortunate, because that's something I would actually enjoy, even if every day I'm down there getting a backache scrubbing the duck pond. I would so rather do that every day for the rest of my life than my current job, which is sad. But someday, maybe.
Indeed.
But I gotta feed a kookaburra. So, on that note, I guess we can sign off and tell everybody, if the world doesn't end on September 23rd, we'll have an episode next week.
There we go. Revive the world so you can get more Doubting Dogma.
You know, and I almost wish for the rapture, because then I wouldn't have to sit here and listen to the Christian music festival that was going on this weekend at the fairgrounds. And, oh, yeah, I have to tell this joke because this is, yeah. My husband's making a choking motion that he just wants to wring their necks. But the first summer I was here, right? I go outside and I hear this noise coming from the fairgrounds. Because the fairgrounds is pretty close to our house. I can walk there from where I'm at. So obviously, you know, as the crow flies, it's even closer. But my mother-in-law was outside, and I was like, what is that awful noise coming from the fairgrounds? And she just starts laughing, and she's like, Christians. I was just like, oh. So, yeah, this is my least favorite weekend every year, when we have to sit here and be forced to listen to their crappy music. So
yeah.
Oh well, at least so far as I know, I don't think they set off fireworks at 11 last night, which they have done before. They are so very considerate of the community. So yeah, anyways, so long as the world doesn't end, we'll be back next week.
All right,
good night, everybody.
Good night.
I want to thank you for joining us. If you like what you hear, please consider supporting the show on Patreon at patreon.com/doubtingdogma, or leave a review on iTunes. You can follow the show on Facebook at facebook.com/doubtingdogma, or on Twitter at doubtingdogma. The intro music was written and performed by Marissa Alexa McCool and was used with her permission.